This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. O God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, open our hearts to your word and to the power of your Spirit. Give us love to discover your will and strength to carry it out today and every day, for you are light forever and ever. Amen. I've been thinking about Father Marty's sermon last week and the difference between Chronos time and Kairos time. Remember, Chronos is the watch. How long is this sermon going to be, and when will we get out of this service? And Kairos, what a glorious sermon. I'm really into it. We could stay here all day. Well, one great thing about Father Marty's sermons, he always gives us something we can take with us and think about during the week. Jesus lived in Kairos time, graced time. Kairos time is grace time. So in today's gospel, he's not talking about arguments with your mother-in-law, or your spouse, or your friends, or your neighbors, about who you're going to vote for in November. He's talking about having chosen to choose to follow him no matter what. When I appeared before the standing committee of the diocese before ordination, I was asked what theological problems I had had in moving from the Roman Catholic Church to the Episcopal Church. I replied that I had no theological problems, but I did have some cultural ones, never one to stop talking when I was ahead. The committee seemed surprised and asked what cultural problems I was referring to. Well, I am Irish, first generation born in this country, and there was, between 1845 and 1849, a great hunger, some called it a famine, in Ireland, which historians today agree was genocide. It was not a famine. The Irish called it An Gorta Mór, the Great Hunger, because there was plenty of food in Ireland, but it was loaded onto British ships and taken to England. Further, the English government blockaded the ports, so any relief from America could not get through. Thousands of people starved to death. However, if you converted from the Roman Catholic Church to the Church of England, the Anglican Church, you were given food. It was called taking the soup. Those who took the soup did not starve, but they earned the disdain of their neighbors, and in fact, all Irish people to this very day. Now, I was and am very clear that God called me into the Episcopal Church. And I love being an Episcopalian and an Episcopal priest. But as I approached the bishop that morning to be received into the church, I confess I had the thought, am I taking the soup? One of my brothers said to me, would you be doing this if mom and dad were alive? I would. And I don't know how they would feel. But I am reminded of the hymn we often sing at St. Mary's in Deerfield. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Though none should join me, yet I will follow, no turning back, no turning back. In today's epistle, St. Paul talks about the great cloud of witnesses that goes before us. In addition to the Old Testament witnesses he mentions, we can think of some others. St. Francis of Assisi, who, when his father hauled him in front of the bishop to be told he had to return all his money to his father because it belonged to his father if he persisted in voluntary poverty, Francis not only gave all of his money back, but literally took off all his clothes and put on the clothes of a beggar. Edith Stein, a young Jewish girl in 1940, who converted to Catholicism and became a cloistered nun, breaking her mother's heart. She died in a concentration camp. Dorothy Day, in our own time, in my own time anyway, gave up the man she loved because she felt God calling her to baptize her child. And he said if she did that, he would leave her. And he did, because she did. And finally, Jonathan Daniels, an Episcopal seminarian, a young man who left his affluent Boston family and his seminary to join the Freedom Riders in the Deep South in the 1960s and was murdered for it. These and so many more who made difficult, unpopular decisions for God are the fire Jesus loosed upon the earth, the fire of passion which purifies. And Jesus himself is the model. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. And we know what Jesus' baptism was. Each Sunday this summer, we have walked with Jesus from Galilee toward Jerusalem. He knows this is probably his last opportunity to teach his disciples what it's going to mean to follow him. In this very human moment this morning, we see his frustration and his impatience. He's saying, hey, this ain't the prosperity gospel of the TV evangelists. Accept Jesus as your personal savior and you'll be rich and successful. No. This is come follow me no matter what. And it won't be easy, and some people won't like it. Even some people you love and who love you. This is the real thing. So we may not be called to be fire in a big way, as Mother Teresa said, but we are all called to kindle God's fire, Christ's fire, in our own lives, in our families, in our work, in our neighborhoods, and in the church. One last story. Two summers ago, I was learning how to be a chaplain at a hospice hospital, in Fort Lauderdale. A tiny little woman, if she was 4'10", that was a lot. Her name was Carol. She came in, she did not have very long to live, and I went in to welcome her to the unit. And she started telling me about her life. When she was younger, she and her cousin frequented nightclubs and lived exciting life. But she said, one night, Jesus called her out of the club, to her surprise, and she never went back. Instead, she walked the streets of Fort Lauderdale, rescuing teenagers who were prostituting themselves, even taking some of those girls into her home. Her cousin said, "You have to come back to the clubs. How are you going to find a man?" To which Carol responded, "I found a man, and his name is Jesus." And with that, in the bed she would die in, she began to sing, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. I have come to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled." Let's you and I, in our lives, be that fire. Amen.